Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew 26, Jesus in verse 26 is sitting with his disciples, and they are having what is known as the Last Supper, the supper they had before he would go to the cross, take our sins upon himself, go through all the suffering that he'd go through, and then rise from the dead. And here it says in verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So first, Jesus says in verse 26, he took, the Bible says he took bread and he blessed it. The bread, we know, here is symbolic of his body. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And so when you think of natural bread, bread is used for the nourishing and sustaining of our physical bodies, as well as for the enjoyment and pleasure. We didn't get a whole lot of hands last time when I asked how many people enjoy eating. And again, it's, but most people enjoy eating. And so here Jesus said this bread is a type of him, because he is the bread of life spiritually. He is our daily bread spiritually. In other words, Jesus, his very life feeds our spirit man. And just like we need to eat natural food, bread, to nourish our physical bodies, we need to partake of Jesus if we're going to be alive spiritually and remain alive. If we're going to be strong spiritually, we need to partake of him. He is our spiritual food. And he is also the enjoyment and pleasure of our hearts, of our spirit. In other words, it isn't some kind of religious hard thing that we have to do when we talk about sitting down and feeding on the Word of God. And again, we're not just to read the Word of God, we're to feed on the Word of God. In fact, that's a great thing to say. Instead of saying, you know, "I need to read the Bible," say, "I need to feed on the Word. I need to feed on the Bible." Why? Because that helps you to be more conscious of your spirit. Because you can just read it from an intellectual standpoint. You could just read the Word and say, "I read the Word." And you might even be able to learn some things intellectually. But it's not to be limited to that. Jesus, he is the Word of God made flesh. He is the Word of God made flesh, and he is the bread of life. So his Word, his life, sustains our spirit, and it is enjoyable. It is pleasurable when you eat it in faith, when you come knowing this. When you come to him believing, when you come to his word believing, when you come to the word and treat it like it's some kind of legal religious obligation. Well, then it's not all that much fun. Then a lot of folks, they need to lead a Bible study or something. They need to be in a position where they're teaching somebody else in order for them to be motivated to get in the Word or to enjoy the Word. A lot of folks enjoy the Word when they know they're going to use it to minister to others. I've watched that over the years. A lot of folks, you can't get them motivated to get in the Word unless, you know, they're going to minister to something. They know they got to minister to somebody else. Well, here, have a Bible study. You know, have a home group, you know, and, oh, okay, now they're going to dig in the Word. Well, they're digging in the Word, they're able to help somebody else. And there's actually, you know, a lot of churches that believe, you know, yeah, that's what you got to do, you know, to get people in the Word, you got to give them some responsibilities. In the church, you got to give them a youth group to lead or a women's group to lead or a Bible study to lead. And that's what helps the believers get motivated. I didn't need anything. When I got saved and I started tasting and seeing that the Lord was good, I got hungry. And I got in there and I started feeding on this Word. And back, you know, in the beginning days, I didn't have a computer. Computers weren't as widespread as they are now. And, you know, with all these programs, all this software, we can have everything right there. It's just a push of the button. So I remember there were times, I was so excited about it, I'd take out my dictionary. I'd clear everything off the table, you know. I'd put my dictionary, I'd get my big, thick Strong's Concordance, you know, which tells you the Greek and the Hebrew of the words and their meanings, and get yourself a Bible dictionary and get a few different translations. You got a few different Bibles laid out in front of you. And, man, I'd sit down like I was an air traffic controller. And I got all these things in front of me. And I just start getting into it. Oh, it was just so fun and exciting as you'd see something, you'd be reading something over here in Matthew, and the Holy Spirit brings something to your remembrance that you read back here in Ezekiel, and then you look for it in the concordance, you find it, and then you get another revelation, it connects to something he said back here in Genesis, and next thing you know, you shoot over to the book of Revelation, and you just start getting, and you start seeing how it all ties together, and you just realize, man, God is showing me stuff. You know, I'm not in this thing trying to figure it out. This is fun. God's showing me things. You know, I kind of liken it to these video games today, you know, where you go into one room and you conquer that room, and then you go on to the next room, and then you go to the next level, and you know what I'm talking about? All these different video games, and there's all these levels and all these different rooms, and I think of all these different Christians that just sit there in front of those things, wasting tons of time when they could actually really be going somewhere. And doing something. Now, you know, there's a time and a place for things like that. But, man, I'm telling you, you can get into the Word of God like it is a video game. If you like video games. If that's your thing. I mean, it could be a hobby. We're not just going to read this thing. We're going to study God's Word. And it is pleasurable. It is enjoyable. So I said, well, I've never seen that before. Well, because you haven't approached it in faith. Believe what I'm saying, man. Get in and get into believing about it. That's why I'm saying these things by the Spirit. Get into believing about it. And when you get into believing, you'll get into it and you'll find it is fun, it is refreshing. You will look for the next opportunity to get with Him, to get with God, to spend time with Him. So you're having fun, you're getting refreshed, and you're being strengthened. Life is growing in you. You're becoming a stronger, better person as a result of it. So it's fun, exciting. Jesus is the bread of life. And just like you are going to eat today, make no mistake about it. Unless you've purposed to fast, you are going to eat. Right? Not a question about it. No doubt about it. Nobody has to beg you to eat. Please, eat the chocolate mousse. You know, please have lunch. Please, please eat something. Please something. No, no, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard being a human. It's too hard to eat. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Why? Because we're very conscious of our physical bodies, of our physical hunger. Well, you see, we got to become more spiritually minded. And when you're conscious that you're a spirit person, then you become more conscious of your spiritual hunger. You have a hunger in there. Your spirit is hungry. Your spirit desires the truth. It desires God. But a lot of times, folks, they busy themselves and they don't really take the time necessary to make themselves spiritually conscious. And that's being in the Spirit. Bible, New Testament has a lot to talk about, a lot to say about being in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. What is that? That's that consciousness of spiritual things. Be conscious and responsive to spiritual things. And it'll just flow. Doing the right thing. Doing the spiritual thing, which is the right thing, will just flow in your life. So get excited. Stir yourself up. And know that Jesus has given you his life. He's given you this bread. And of course, the Bible says that he blessed it. He blessed it. Or he gave thanks for it. And whenever we bless something and give God thanks for it, we are sanctifying that thing and setting it apart unto God. We're blessing it and thus bringing God into it. And so there's a lot of things that wouldn't be a bondage to us if we just included God in it. You know, you think about heaven, people in heaven. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's an awesome place. And yet we just know, even though we've never been there, we know nobody's running around covetous in heaven. Nobody's lusting after somebody else's mansion. Nobody's lusting. Nobody's materialistic, even though the place is paved with gold. Come on, it's got every good thing. But the people, we know they're not in love with those things. Why? Because they're so consciously aware of God. God is involved. God is involved in everything that they're doing in heaven, so everything in heaven doesn't control them. The things of heaven don't control them. So again, being conscious of God will keep us from being addicted to things, will keep us from getting into sin over things, will keep us out of bondage to things. And how do we do that? Be thankful. Be thankful. Bless your food, and you won't be controlled by it. Matter of fact, there'll be some things you won't even want to eat. If you bless it, bring God into it. Have a consciousness of him. Proverbs 23 says that we need to consider carefully what is set before us. And that is true both naturally and spiritually. We need to consider carefully what is set before us. The Word of God. The communion, the life of Jesus. We don't want to just have a superficial faith in him. Because I remember growing up, you know, we were raised in a fairly religious home. And we would go to church. My parents made sure, you know, there were six kids. And made sure they packed us all up, dressed us all up, and got us to church. I remember as a little guy, you know, we had those wooden pews. And I'd get so uncomfortable. I'd find myself, every time they would stand up, you know, I'd find myself lie down on the pews, on the pew, you know. And I think one time I got out of line, and found myself out in the car. Came back, and everything was great from that time forward for the rest of my life. But that was the traditional thing to do. We went to church, and there was a cross with a statue of what was to be Jesus on it, and there were all religious symbols all around in the church, and the Word of God was being spoken at times, and it was all around, but it meant nothing. It was just a religious thing that you went through. But you and I, we need to consider carefully this Jesus that has been given to us. We need to consider carefully what having him as the Lord of our life really means. In other words, we need to set our mind on him and think on him and understand what we are partaking of. When we are partaking of Jesus, we're partaking of forgiveness of all sin. Any crime we've ever committed against God, any wrong thing we've ever committed, thank God for the bread. Thank God for the bread that takes away the sins of the world, takes away our sinfulness. Not just our sins, but the very nature to sin. Takes away the very desire to sin. I believe if we would consider more carefully Jesus and who he is to us, and keep that before us, again, conscious of that, by carefully, consistently considering him, if we would do that, there'd be a lot of things that we wouldn't care about anymore. We would lose the desire for it, and our desire for him would grow, so that, man, there's things we don't even want to do anymore if we consider carefully the bread. In other words, we're not just forgiven through that bread, but man, we're set free from the stuff that has controlled our lives through that bread, through Jesus. Not only that, but he took our sicknesses. His body, he said, this is my body. His body was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He took our beating. The beating that we were to, the punishment that we were to receive, Jesus took it. Christ, the Bible says, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I mean, he didn't just deal with the sin. He took everything that is the result of sin. Every sickness. Every disease. Now, you understand, there's so many Christians in the world today that they don't know that. And many that have heard that don't even believe that. And yet, that's just basics concerning our redemption. He took. Bible says, Matthew 8:17, he took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. By his stripes, his wounds, you were healed. He took our pain. He took our pain. I'm not taking pain. Jesus took the pain. I'm not taking pain. He took the pain so I wouldn't have to take pain. He took it for me, and he didn't take it in vain. He took it so I can be free from it. I refuse to allow pain in my body. And that's where our faith needs to be. We need to understand it. No, Jesus took this. I'm not taking this. Take your hands off me. Sickness, take your hands off me. Infirmity, take your hands off me. Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm healed. He took this. We'll be like that when we consider. I mean, there's times, you know, you're dealing with something in your body or somebody else's, and I'm praying for them. I close my eyes, and I see, man, I will take time, and I'll consider Jesus, and I'll see the whipping post, and I'll see him being struck, and I'll see him taking all that pain and all that suffering upon himself. I'll consider that so it becomes real to me, so it becomes more real to me than the pain, then the infirmity, then what I call the lying symptoms and worries of the devil. What the devil's doing has to be less real to us than what Jesus has done for us. He took it. He took it. Praise God. Consider carefully what is set before you. Consider carefully what has been given to you to partake of. And it will stir up faith in you. It'll stir up a spiritual appetite in you. Can you say amen? And then notice it says in verse 26 that after he took the bread, blessed the bread, he broke it. He broke it. Jesus was afflicted for you and I. And that's what the breaking of that bread represents. It's the breaking of him. He was, even though no bones were broken in his body, he was afflicted. He was broken. he hung on that cross. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? All darkness, all hopelessness, all despair, which is all a part of the curse, all those things came upon Jesus. But here's the thing to realize about it. Who broke the bread? Did Roman soldiers come in and break the bread and give it to the disciples? Huh? Who broke the bread? Jesus broke the bread. Jesus also said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down. I lay it down. The Roman soldiers did not take Jesus' life from him. The Jewish religious leaders did not take Jesus' life from him. Jesus gave his life. He broke it. He broke it. Notice over here in Isaiah 53. Isaiah, looking forward to what Jesus would do when he came, prophesied and said in Isaiah 53, we'll pick it up here in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by the Roman government, and afflicted by the Jews. Is that what it says? No. It says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Because we know Jesus is a part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God from eternity past who became a man. And here it says, he, God, afflicted him. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. Jump over here to verse 10. This is all so amazing. This is hundreds of years before Jesus came. And here Isaiah is spelling it out, saying what the Messiah is going to be like, what he's going to accomplish. And notice verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. That word grief could also be translated sickness. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, the Lord, shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And it goes on. But notice again, verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put to grief. All sickness, all disease, everything that's a part of the curse of the law was put on him. But who did it? The Lord himself did it. The Lord himself did it. The Lord did this to himself for us. Jesus was never a victim. He was never a victim. He always was in complete control of his life. Always in complete control of his life. He laid it down. He gave himself to be beaten and smitten. You remember, even when he was carrying the cross, people wanted him to deliver himself. People were weeping. And remember, when he stood before Pontius Pilate, and he had been betrayed, and they're getting ready to crucify him, what did Jesus say? As he stood there, he said, I could now call on 1,000 or a legion of my Father's angels to come and rescue me right now, and they would. That's what he told Pontius Pilate. Man, I can have angels come and deliver me right now. I can be out of this thing right now. I mean, he could call fire out of heaven right now. There's a lot he could have done to deliver himself. We saw it in his life time and time again. They would come to take him, to arrest him, and he would just walk right through the midst of them and go right out of their presence. And they could not take him. And he would say, my hour has not yet come. Jesus had complete control of his life. But he gave it. And he broke it for us. He broke, he had himself broken. His own body beaten and wounded for us. And when it was done, he said, it's finished. He was in total control. Total control. And he did it for us. Isn't that an awesome thing? And you think about the discipline and how, because remember, he was every much a man as you and I. I mean, he was human. He was tempted. He felt pain. He felt tempted. The Bible says he was tempted at all points. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he resisted the temptation to not go to the cross to the point of breaking blood vessels. I mean, that's how much stress. He was dealing with stress in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, my soul or my emotions are exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to experience pain. And yet, he faced the cross and all the torture willingly for you and I. He gave himself and he didn't come off that cross. I'm sure that was tempting when he's hanging up there on the cross. He's got spikes in him. He's nailed it there. He can hardly breathe. Every joint of his body is been knocked out of place. He is in excruciating pain. And then you got these little folks down there laughing at him saying, if you are the Christ, deliver yourself. Come down off the cross and we'll all believe. And he could have. He could have done it. But he didn't. He kept himself there in the will of the Father. He kept himself there so that you and I could be saved. So that you and I can be delivered from satanic power. That's what he did for us. Today, you know, people, they struggle with something and they give in. They give in. You know, I got to do it. I know I shouldn't, but I got to do it. And they give in to these temptations. Thank God Jesus didn't do that. He kept himself there. He was feeling it, but he kept himself there. This is no easy thing. But that's why he's our master. He overcame the world. He overcame the God of this world, who is the devil. Jesus overcame. He conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I. He did it. He did it. Praise God. And now he's in us, and through him, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We got his victory. He's given us his victory. He's given us his Holy Spirit now through our faith in him, so that now you and I, through him, are also in control in this life. Just like we were saying with the sickness and the disease, we're not going to have that. Jesus took that. We're going to resist the devil. We're going to resist these things Jesus took. And thank God we can. I said, thank God we can. I remember one, you know, it was just when I had just moved to Oklahoma, and I was barely awake, and I heard the Spirit of God in me say, nobody takes my life from me. Nobody takes my life. And of course, those were the words of Jesus. But that came to me, and I knew it had to do with me. That I can have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. I can have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Through him, I can say, nobody, nothing takes my life from me. I am not a victim in life. I'm not going to be a victim of circumstance. I'm not going to be a victim of tragedy, a victim of an accident, a victim of sickness, a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. Stuff happens, but bless God, we overcome. Why? We're more than conquerors. We got him now. Through him, we will walk in victory over every work of darkness. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank God. Why? Because of the bread. That's what that bread means to us. That's what Jesus means to us. He's our healing. He's our deliverance. He's our victory. He's our confidence. Through him, praise God, we can walk tall in this life. Smile on our face, knowing that we are more than conquerors through him. Regardless of where you've been and what you've gone through, glory be to God, we are overcoming and we are going from faith to faith, glory to glory. We're not going to have it any other way. You got to have that attitude. When you get up in the morning, you got to have the attitude. Now, don't you think we're just going to have any ordinary day? We're going to have a good day. No more than that. We're going to have a God day. Come on. We're going to have a God day. We're going to walk in God-like power, God-like victory. Because we got God with us. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Man, they got these symptoms. Well, I got symptoms right here. I got these sayings. These sayings are greater than your symptoms. Shikalamahaha. I said these sayings are greater than your symptoms. Praise God. Apply the sayings to the symptoms. And believe the sayings more than the symptoms. We need to believe the saying more. Believe God's sayings more than we believe the devil's symptoms. That's the key. That's the key. We get in faith when we look at the sayings rather than getting into fear when we look at the symptoms. How's that going to happen? We consider. We give thanks for this bread that's been given to us, this life of Jesus that's been given to us. We don't take this thing for granted. We give God glory for it. We take advantage of it. We partake of it all the time. We feed on it. It's a part of who we are in life. You know, you are what you eat. That's true, both naturally and spiritually. You are what you eat. What you eat with your eyes. What you eat with your ears. What you chew with your thoughts. Your thinking is chewing. What you swallow, what you ingest into your spirit. That's who you are. Out of your spirit flows the issues of life. What are you chewing on? What are you chewing on? Praise God. I want to see. Chew with your mouth open. And a lot of people don't like that in the natural. I feel chew like. You see everything, you know. Well, that could be gross. But spiritually, it's a blessing. It's like, oh, wow. He's chewing on the word. Hallelujah. Woo, he's chewing on some good things. He's chewing on the truth. Come on, I can almost hear you out there in the spirit. Some people in the spirit's. Some people in the spirit's like.
Oh. 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 Oh my. Just another one, Pastor, please. Just shoot me another one. Just slide it down here, please. Oh, go. Go.
Some people aren't even fully chewing and they're swallowing. It's just getting it in them as much as they can. This is good eating. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, you'll become it. You'll become it. You'll become more and more like the Master. If you partake of him, you eat of him, you'll become more like him. You'll think more like him. You'll love more like him. You'll respond to things more like him. You'll walk in victory like him. Come on. Devils will be terrified of you like they have been of him. Right? Glory be to God. So we're eating. We're eating. So, the next thing he did after he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, he what? He gave it. He gave it. He gave it. The disciples did not work for this. The disciples did not try to pay for this. This was a gift given by Jesus. Jesus gives us his life. It is a free gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace You have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. See, a lot of times folks get that confused. They think, well, you just are cocky. You just are self-confident, walking around acting like no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than everybody in the hospital? Who do you think you are? Nothing. Nothing. What I have is a gift. It is not of myself. So you see, we can boast. We can lift our head up, be confident, don't have to walk in this religious false humility that says, I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. Don't look at me. I'm hiding behind the cross. No. See, all that religious nonsense. No, we come out, praise God, from behind the cross, full of the life of Jesus. Huh? Full of the life. Don't walk around this false humility. Oh, don't look at me. No, we need to say, look on us. Look on us. Why? Because we are one with him now. We've been saved. And it is not of ourselves. We didn't get here by picking ourselves up by our own bootstraps. A lot of folks pride themselves. They pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. It's sad, but I've watched Christians, you know, I mean, they were a mess. Jesus saved them, picked them up, washed them up, fed them his word, you know, gave them the baba, and fed them, and then was able to give them some solid food and grew them up, and they got a little tall, and they got a little tall, and the next thing they know, they're smarter than the pastor. They know more than anybody in the church. They deserve better. That is my chair. Somebody's sitting in my chair. Some people own the whole pew, you know. They own the whole pew. This is my pew. And they begin to pride themselves on their spiritual progress. Happens a lot, guys. A lot of Christians, they start off good, but they don't end good. I'm determined I'm going to finish this thing right. Huh? I'm going to finish this thing right. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you... Yeah, so you might even have had a rough beginning. That don't matter. It's how you finish. You might have had a great beginning, praise God. That don't matter either. How are you going to end? How are we going to finish this thing? Praise God, I'm going to go out of here in a blaze of glory. I'm talking about full of the glory of God. Why? Because I have purpose to do it. Who do you think you are to say something like that? Nothing. It's what he's done for me. It's not of myself. It's not of myself. We can talk a big talk because we got a God who did some big stuff for us. And we're not confused about who's done it. We know he's done it. He's done this thing. He took his life. He laid it down. He had it broken for us. He gave it to us. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. No, we can't brag about this. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're boasting in him. We're confident in him. But we are confident in him. Are you getting that? We are confident in him. Christians need to have their heads lifted high and be confident in him. We need to know what he's done for us. Consider well, carefully, what he's done for us. Partake, eat, walk in this. And know, bless God, we are everything the Bible says we are. We are healed. We are saved. We are delivered. We're one spirit with the Lord. My God, I'm about ready to throw this podium over. It'd just fire you up. If you were up here preaching, you'd want to hit something too. Push something. I'm getting too big for this place. Yeah, that's right. Not getting too big for my britches, you know what I mean by that. We're not talking about pride. Big in God. Not talking about inflated with a lot of hot air. See, when it's all about you and your works and what you've done and how you are something in and of yourself, that's just hot air. All you need is a little pin to reduce you to nothing. All this hot air. It's just a little pin. A little tack. A lot of folks, that's why they get so shocked when things go wrong in their life. How could this happen to me? They didn't realize it was so full of hot air. They didn't realize it doesn't take much. Just reduce you to nothing really quick. But thank God we're filled with substance. Oh, hallelujah. We're full of Him. Full of the truth. Come on. Full of the Spirit of God. That's weighty. It's powerful. Take a pin to that, it'll bend. Right? Go up to something made of steel and start hitting it with a pin. It ain't going to happen. Right? You can take a nail to it. Bam! It ain't going to happen. Nail's going to keep bending. Everything's going to keep bending. You can get a drill bit. Still can't cut through the thing. Drill just gets worn out. You follow what I'm saying? You can't penetrate this. You can't touch this. Right? Can you have that attitude? I know you want it. Come on, push somebody gently and say, are you getting this? Don't cause strife, just. Of course, you won't cause strife. If you push somebody that's as solid as you, it'll be hard to move them. Everybody pushes everybody, nobody moves. Hallelujah. He gave it. Somebody say, He gave it. And He keeps giving it. It's a gift every day. Jesus is a gift to you and I. We can have that attitude. Every morning's Christmas morning. Praise God. I'm going to open up my gifts. I'm going to partake of the life of Jesus. I'm going to partake. Ooh, forgiveness is in the box. His mercy's new every morning. Oh, healing, praise God. Oh, deliverance is in the box this morning. Oh, conquering spirit is in me, praise God. Boldness is mine today, hallelujah. No weapon formed against me. The armor of God. Man, look at all these gifts. Every day, just wrap, unwrap them, have fun doing it. Enjoy it. Every day. He's giving. Every day He's giving. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Then we come to where Jesus said, take, eat. Take, eat. Now he can give and give and give, but if we don't do what He said, if we don't take it and partake of it and eat it, then it does us no good. We have a part to play in this. It's not automatic. Well, God is sovereign. And if He wants to do it, He'll do it. Well, He's done it. He's given it. But you're just sitting there with a little religious, pious look on your face. Say, well, if God wants to heal, He'll heal. If God wants to save Charlie, He'll save Charlie. He's already done it. Somebody's got to go tell Charlie. Somebody's got to walk up to Charlie with some boldness. Somebody's got to have some confidence about what they have in Jesus and go up to Charlie and say, Charlie, I got something I got to share with you. And then they got to have the boldness to be able, as a believer, lay hands on the sick and expect people to recover, to be healed. Come on. We got to take this thing. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It doesn't just happen. We got it. So God's given us all, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, through our knowledge of Him, we need to take it. Take it. I was amazed as I went through the book of Acts, just how much taking they did in the book of Acts. You just go through there. And I mean, when it came to the Holy Spirit, it wasn't about God giving it. God gave the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And then from that point on, The people just received it. It was no longer about God giving anything. It was all about receiving, 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 receiving. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word and were baptized. You got to receive the word. Acts 3, 7. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Talking about that crippled man. He received the strength that was administered to him and thus experienced a miracle. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say God gave the Holy Spirit. It just says they received it because we know God gave it. He gave it to everybody. Gave him to everybody. But people have to receive it. Acts 10:47. And they were baptized who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Acts 11:1. The Gentiles had also received the word of God. Acts 17:11. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures to see if these things were true. Acts 20, verse 24. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Paul talking about his ministry. It was something he had to receive. God's got a ministry for you. Talking about going out there ministering to people. There's something that God's got for you, but you got to receive it. Learn of it and receive of it so that you can fulfill it. Acts 21:17, and when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. How do we receive one another? How do we receive God's people? How do we receive God's ministers? See, God's given, he's given. Now it's all up to us. How well are we going to receive? How well are we receiving what this incredible gift that we have here today? I mean, look at these brethren. Look at this great place. Look at the word that we're hearing, the Spirit of God. How well are we receiving this? It all goes back to considering it, giving thanks for it, knowing what is ours, lifting our voices, praising God for it, blessing it, sanctifying, bringing God into what we're doing, into what we have. How well are we receiving? We need to be quick, good receivers. As believers, right? We want to be slow to believe, slow to receive, just kind of wondering, thinking. No, praise God, we're quick. We're quick to get it. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. And there's still more. We don't have any more time for it today, but we're not done with communion. We might have to eat something next week too. Hallelujah. Did you get this today? Oh, so many good things. So many good things. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord right now.